This is Sunday, October 27th, and our topic is Come In Here for Friendship. Spirit of Life, We Come From Different Spaces by Toni Larson. Spirit of Life, We Come From Different Spaces. Some of us arrive alive with hope and joy. Some of us come in loneliness or fear, looking for friendship and support, but not sure we'll find it. Someone here is thinking of breaking up with their partner, or is afraid that their partner is thinking of breaking up with them. It's such a hard place to be, a place of fear and hope, anxiety, but perhaps also relief, a wrenching spot where feelings war with one another. Someone else is glad and secure and so grounded in their relationship that they feel they could achieve almost anything with the anchor of that love to give them roots. Someone here is trying to quit smoking or thinking of it, and is finding it one of the hardest things they ever had to do. Someone here may be addicted to cocaine or another drug and would be so ashamed if anyone else here knew. What would they think of me? And yet, that is who I am, and I am here too. Someone may be facing an unwanted pregnancy. What can I do about it? Could I handle giving birth? Could I handle not giving birth? What do my friends really think? What do I think? Someone else wants a child so badly, and feels an emptiness in their heart because this desire cannot be fulfilled. Others are here out of no particularly intense feeling, yet still understands what it means to know pain or joy. We arrive from so many places, it almost seems as if we each came to see a different movie, but we find ourselves by chance in the same theater, each hoping for something to feed our spirits, yet wondering how we can all be fed when who we are and what we need seem so different. Spirit of Life, help us see that, as different as we are all welcome here, that we all have something to offer one another, and that our very being here is a gift. Help us to see that, as individual and unique as we are, there is a common heart beating in our breast, and we are not really separate at all, merely fragments of one common, beautiful vessel, if we could only learn to put the pieces together. Blessed be. Amen. From the Reverend Norbert Chapek, Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts, to be one in desire and affection, and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in the world. Wisdom from Our Sources. I Am a Rock by Paul Simon. A winter's day, in deep and dark December, I am alone. Gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow, I am a rock. I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. But I've heard the words before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island. A rock feels no pain and an island never cries. Your connections are everything. How to build yours. By Renee Peterson Trudeau. One of my mom's favorite songs in the 1970s was I Am a Rock by Simon and Garfunkel. The lyrics are particularly resonant today. I am a rock, I am an island. Growing up, I watched how often my mother would isolate herself from others and try to navigate the ups and downs of motherhood, parenting, and work alone. Today, my heart is filled with compassion for her, and I'm quite clear that this is not how I want to live. The older I get, the more I wish to show up as human and vulnerable as possible in my interactions, both personal and professional. I believe this is our birthright, and not only is it essential to overall health and well-being, it's critical to our growth and evolution. And our story today is called Enemies by Christopher Buse from A Bucket Full of Dreams, Contemporary Parables for All Ages. Once there was a little girl who was queen of an island. One day an advisor said to her, "Your Majesty, the people on this island are good, but we must beware of the people on the next island, for they are our enemies." "Our enemies?" responded the queen. "How terrible!" "Yes, it is terrible," said the advisor, "for our little island will never be safe while we have enemies. We must find a way to get rid of our enemies." "You are quite right," said the queen. "Do you have any ideas?" "I do indeed," said the advisor. "We can take our army, put it on a ship, sail to the other island, take our army, march it on shore, and destroy the enemy." The queen was not so sure this was a good idea. "Thank you for sharing your ideas," said the queen, "but I need some more time to think about it all. Can you come back tomorrow?" "Yes, Your Majesty," said the advisor, and he bowed and left the room. The next day, when the advisor returned to talk to the queen, he was shocked to find her having tea with the queen of the next island. The advisor turned red with anger. "How can you sit there and drink tea with that person?" he shouted. "She is our enemy. We must get rid of our enemies." The queen looked at her advisor with eyes that were calm and steady. "You have been a good advisor," she said, "and you were right. We have to get rid of our enemies. You would have me destroy my enemies by conquering them with an army. But the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friends." And now our sermon, Come In Here for Friendship. Thank you, Julian Verne, for our song, When I'm 64. I have to confess, the closer I get to 64, the less and less it feels old, and that I might not be wanted. Why? Because I intentionally form strong roots while staying put in this beloved community, belonging to myself, here, and to my community. And you have responded in kind. But it wasn't always that easy. My wife Mary and I moved here in 2009 when she was recruited by the Wenatchee Valley Clinic to start a geriatric medicine program. Mary got busy with the hard work of building a medical services team for the frail and elderly in our community. When I was sworn into the local bar, Mary, her nurse practitioner, and the hospital's physician recruiter were there to stand with me. The other attorney being sworn in that day had a whole bucket of family to stand with her. It felt lonely, and it felt like I didn't belong. And coming from a New Jersey family of 10 children with 48 first cousins, I was used to there always being multiple relatives around, in good times and in bad. Not so much here. Brené Brown, in her book Braving the Wilderness, The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone, says that true belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in both being part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to become who you are. True belonging means being part of something to experience a real connection with others, but not at the cost of your own authenticity, freedom, or power. And she says that spirituality is recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than all of us, and that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. So why are we so lonely? Psychologist Shira Nyman, in her 2018 study of loneliness, reported that 50% of American adults suffered from loneliness and commented that modern life brings death by a thousand paper cuts. The busier and more stressed we are, the more we withdraw, never realizing how our self-imposed exile is draining our vitality. 50% of American adults. That means either the left side of the congregation or the right side. And if it's not you, it's the person next to you or on the other side of you. Or maybe it's you and not them. We are also lonely because, as Susan Pinker found in her research, there is a village effect. That is, for ages, we humans literally depended on each other for survival. No one person could put up a house alone or find enough food to feed their family. We had family dinners and community parades and other rituals that bonded us to those we needed to survive. We could read each other's body language and intentions and were firmly connected to each other. Now we live in a world of phones. Food, clothing, transportation can all be ordered within a few clicks. No need to even call in a takeout order. So does it matter that I see the people I went to high school with on Facebook? Not really. I'm happy for them that they're having fun, retiring, moving to Cape Cod, and enjoying their grandchildren. But that doesn't mean it's enough of a connection, this Facebook, that if I ever went back to Cape Cod, I would look up that fellow Glen Ridge High School alum and ask him to have coffee with me. So all the time I spend on Facebook or other social media only counts if it's helping me to use it as a gateway to make real connections. We're also lonely because we're afraid to show up and be vulnerable. We think we live in the Wild West here, the Great Frontier, with the false image of every person for themselves out on the ranch. You've heard of the Seattle freeze, or as it's called here, localism. That's us not being as kind and accepting to new people as we could be. What, are we afraid they'll take our corn and our cattle? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, commanded his followers to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Melanie Katzman reminds us that everyone has an inner eighth grader craving acceptance. Remember when you were new in town? Or when someone welcomed you into a place you'd never been before? Remember that connection? Did it feel less lonely? And what can we learn from Ben Sasse, a Republican senator from Nebraska? His recent book, Them, stunned me when I read his thoughts about loneliness and how he described our country separating itself into anti-tribes instead of connected tribes. You see, I could have written most of that book. Yes, loneliness is a bipartisan issue. Senator Sasse thought that one cause of the increase in loneliness was that he found people had lost that hometown gym on a Friday night feeling, where the townspeople came out to support the local team, whether their children were playing or not, and you could run into someone or two or more that you knew and needed to talk to. I think of it like McGlynn's any night of the week, or the farmer's market on Saturday at Pybus. You can usually find some UU either there or at Fred Meyer after church on Sunday that you could connect with. But you have to show up and be vulnerable. You have to reach out your hand and talk to them. You can't just shop online and expect your friends to disappear. You can't just shop online and expect your friends to appear, at least not yet. So why should Unitarian Universalists who are studying belonging care about loneliness or perceived social isolation? Well, our seven principles call us to a religious response to our nationwide, even worldwide, epidemic of loneliness. The first principle calls us to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Loneliness seems to affect everyone, but disproportionately so, men more than women. And a recent CNN study found that loneliness pops up more often in those in the transitions of life. Late 20s who are finishing school and starting a new job, mid-50s in our midlife crisis, and in our late 80s. Yes, push the age from 64 to 84. When we have a loss of friends and family, and perhaps a decrease in functional status and memory, and we need to move into an assisted care facility away from our homes. Loneliness is associated with declines in physical health, mental health, and cognition. Studies show that living with air pollution increases your odds of dying early by 5%, living with obesity 20%, excessive drinking 30%, and you would have to smoke 15 cigarettes a day to equal the impact that loneliness has of making you die 45% more early than your neighbor. The coming increase of elderly in this country makes it imperative that we pay attention to this public health issue in elders. The second principle calls us to justice, equity, and compassion in human relation. As Brené Brown says, people are hard to hate up close, so move in. Toni Larson in our meditation talked about how we come from different spaces. We come in loneliness or fear, looking for friendship and support and not sure we'll find it. To paraphrase, we come here to learn that we are not individuals only belonging to ourselves, but a people with a common heart beating in a common vessel. Brené Brown says that we are surrounded by an us versus them culture, creating feelings of spiritual disconnection and a diminished sense of shared humanity. She says that the world feels high, lonesome, and heartbroken as we've sorted ourselves into factions based on our politics and ideology. We're lonely and we're scared. So damn scared. Brown looks to Bill Bishop's book, The Big Sort, which tells us we have sorted ourselves into what he calls balkanized communities whose inhabitants find other Americans, to be culturally incomprehensible, with a growing intolerance for political differences that has made national consensus impossible. In 1976, he points out that less than 25% of Americans lived in places where the presidential election was a landslide. So, we live next door to and among those who voted differently from us. But in 2016, 80% of U.S. counties gave either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton a landslide victory. In that short passage of time, we find ourselves today living in and among those who do vote and think like us, further isolating ourselves from those with whom we could practice justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. And during that time period, loneliness on a national level in this country doubled, he estimates, from 20% of Americans to 40 or 50% that we see today. But hanging out with people with whom our only connection is that we hate a common enemy won't help us be any less lonely. Brené Brown calls it the false flag of common enemy intimacy. The false flag of common enemy intimacy, in which we amplify our cynicism and diminish our collective worth. This leads to counterfeit connections, which are the opposite of true belonging. So, what are the remedies for loneliness now that we're down in the bottom of the bathtub? Thankfully, we had Vern and Julie singing When I'm 64 to lift us up a little bit. Otherwise, we'd be down the drain and out the street by now. Well, the title for this service, Come In Here for Friendship, came from an article I read about Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, like a lot of places in this world, has a shortage of mental health providers, much like we have here. And one response that they have here in Zimbabwe is that they train grandmothers, to sit on what they call friendship benches. And when someone is in a crisis or needs someone to listen to, a grandma is called and she sits on the friendship bench. And the person comes and grandma listens. This has had a significant effect on suicide and other mental health challenges in that country. And I was thinking, we should have a bench here. But then I thought, all of our chairs are friendship benches. All of us could listen. Like our palliative care, like our pastoral care team does. We are listeners. That is our spiritual imperative. So our remedies, first, are to belong to yourself. First, belong to yourself by joining in the benefits of collective assembly, which we have here, by participating in Unitarian Universalism and building beloved community. Reverend John O'Donohue says that only holiness will call people to listen now. And the work of holiness is not about perfection or niceness. It is about belonging, that sense of being in the presence. And through the quality of that belonging, the mild magnetic of implicating others in the presence. This is not about forging a relationship with God, but about the realization that we are already within God. Show up for worship then here. Stay for coffee hour. Intentionally connect to one or two or a few people. Perhaps invite them to lunch or to go shopping with you at Fred Meyer and get to know them better. Take time to nourish yourself in thought, prayer, meditation, being outside, however that lands for you. Stop looking for confirmation that you are not enough when you join a group, because you are, as you are. Make regular connections with your friends or those you wish to have as friends. Weekly Starbucks or Cafe Mella meetings or a walk on the loop can go a long way. Ask your friends how they are and then listen. Accept when they say things aren't going well and tell them about your life, good and bad. Then show up for regular attendance at some group where you can be seen and heard. British GP Dr. Chatterjee, author of the